Welcome to the podcast that teaches you how to transform your life and your business. Here is your host, Rick Hyland, and this is CI for Life.
Hey, welcome to another CI for Life podcast. It's Rick Hyland, excited to come to you today with a topic that's near and dear to all of us. Easy topic to talk about, hard to really execute and do well at it. And it is employee engagement. How do we as leaders, managers, supervisors, executives truly engage hearts and minds of people? Because we know it makes a massive difference to the bottom line, morale, turnover, attrition, the whole thing. So just a couple of statistics to start about why it's so important. This is some Gallup survey that was done in 2023. Talking about engaged employee and disengaged. If you can believe it, this may not surprise you, but the survey said 32% of employees feel engaged at work and 18% feel completely disengaged, meaning disgruntled. Here's the definition. Engaged employees are involved and enthusiastic about their work and their workplace. That's 32%. Actively disengaged employees are disgruntled and disloyal because of most of their workplace needs are not being met. That is the disengaged. That's the 18%. More numbers from a different study. Helio, I believe, is the group that did this. 80% of employees are not engaged in the workplace. That's what their study said. Billions lost. Disengaged employees cost U.S. companies around $400 to $500 billion each year. More profitable. Companies with highly engaged workforce are 21% more profitable. 33% of professionals cite boredom as their main reason for disengagement. High revenue company cultures lead to 4 times more growth, revenue growth, than non-engaged cultures. And then another stat that might surprise you, 73% of employees would consider leaving today if the right place called. So we've got a big challenge in front of us. We know the upside of actually capturing hearts and mind, and it's a little bit easier in smaller companies. And of course, as you scale and get bigger into the millions, even still a small, medium-sized business is quite difficult. So, but there's lots of upside. It's worth the battle. It's worth the fight. It's worth the effort to try to engage, as some of those statistics that I've just shared with you cite. So let me start with an example of what I've seen in big companies not work, and then how it was turned around. And I'll come back to that story at the end of the podcast. So many years ago, working with Bob Koenig and a large team at RLG International in a large aerospace manufacturer in the East Coast, we went in and the manager's name was Lauren Bador. Bless you, Lauren, if you're ever listening. Bob and Lauren made a terrific difference in the composite area. This was a helicopter manufacturing site. When we had gone in to start, they had spent thousands and thousands and tens of thousands, if not hundred thousands, on what they called an employee engagement effort. And it was forming teams already all over the plant and talking about what they could do to improve. And they were about a year into that journey, lots of expensive facilitators and materials and team meetings and paying people overtime or cutting into the shift by having these team engagement meetings, and zero results. And when they did a survey, very little impact on morale. I'm going to share with you why as I close out that story and how Bob and Lauren turned it around at the end of this podcast. But let's first talk about some basic ideas on how to engage the workforce so you can capture better revenue, better profitability, less attrition, et cetera, and a funner place to work, quite frankly, right? As managers, it's a much better place to work. So I've got about 5 or 6, 7 ideas, and then I'll come back to the Lauren and Bob story and how they did it with my favorite idea. And I'm going to coin a term here called performance engagement. And that's really what we're after. And the difference that was missed at first at that aerospace manufacturing site. But let's start out with some basic ideas. Clarifying expectations, right, can be a huge win for engagement, right? How many employees are so frustrated because their bosses can't articulate what they're really looking for and have to come back for 10 drafts or rework. So taking your time to really clarify what you're expecting, how, what support they can give, what KPI we could measure it off of, you know, that's part of that delegation podcast that was probably my most popular podcast a couple of months ago in the last year. And that's one of the things is you want to engage or not frustrate your employees, take a little bit extra time. I know I'm guilty of this with my chief of staff, is dumping stuff off on him in a hurry. And he has to come back to me 3 or 4 times with what I'm really looking for. So the importance of clarifying expectations, or at least be open to, hey, come back when it's not clear. If you leave that door open, it can lead to a lot less frustration. A big one, and maybe I should have mentioned this one first, connect the employees to your mission or purpose in the company. One of my favorites, some of you have heard me tell this story about Greg Murillia, the first supervisor I ever worked with in Kelowna, British Columbia. Why I love this story is because it was a stud mill. It was a 2x4 mill. It wasn't even like they were doing big timber stuff. It was the smallest of the small in this little stud mill. And by the way, it was one of the more high performance mills over about a 25-year period. Greg got promoted several times and ran that plant for a long time. But basically, why I share this story is it's easy when you're in Google or Apple or making these life-changing products that are going to change how information or products are changed in the world. Let's face it, some of those cultures aren't even great and people are still engaged because they're making a massive difference in the world and their stock options are going up, et cetera. But what Greg did was every weekly meeting with the union, every monthly business review with his senior staff, he would, for 1 minute or sometimes 5 minutes, remind them of what they were doing and why it was so important. For example, he would tie in, you know, some of our lumber goes to Habitat Humanity and we're helping those less fortunate, you know, have their own home. He would also remind them that it's every North American or every person's dream to own their own home. And we're making that. So we have to do quality and we have to do it right. And they're, you know, so he's just fantastic. Before he jump into the KPIs and the issues of the day, of reminding them of purpose. And I've seen many of you, my clients, in quarterly reviews and town halls, whether you do it quarterly or semi-annually, but always starting with purpose and values and why what we're doing is so important. You know, I even heard the other day at Levitt, John Mutis talking about I won't do it justice, but we lift the world, right? And it's a little fancier than that, but basically that, you know, what a great little for a machinery and a material handling forklift company. We lift and power the world. What a great tie-in to purpose. And then they go through the values. Third idea to engage, and this is a big one, give them opportunities to learn and grow. In Levitt right now, a lot of the senior people are going through courses. It's hard work. They're expensive. But it's a privilege. And it's for the betterment of their career. And they're doing it on their own, online. A lot of effort, but it's going to advance them. Many of my clients, you know, I'm talking to 60 managers and executives right now every month. They might be actually a little bit more than that right now. And most of my clients, you know, Levitt, Dewar, et cetera, talk about what a privilege it is to have a coach. It's not a punishment or a penalty. It's a privilege. And because we think of you as an outstanding current leader or future leader in this company, we want you to have the privilege of have a professional coach work with you. How to turn that into a great privilege, a high engagement opportunity, a great opportunity to learn and grow. Another little nuance to engagement, and you know, Dan Sullivan writes about this in 10X and unique ability, and let people work in there. And it's not always possible. I get that. But I'm going to share an example of where even in a difficult, hard working work environment in ag, where they're doing a version of this. But we know that if we can spend more time where we have our 10,000 hours, where we're really good, it feels like flow. It doesn't even feel like work. And if we can stay in that, and yes, we have to do sometimes because we're trying to learn and grow and improve, we take on other areas. But if you really want high productivity, high engagement, put people in spots where they really have passion and have unique ability for it. Boy, it just doesn't even feel like work. So, Ellen, let me go to the hardest example that I've seen and best example in agriculture. Big greenhouse, Howlings, tomatoes, cucumbers, etc. Reuben Howling, general manager. He's worked hard with Victor Wong, the IT person, on a specific agriculture software, Ritter, it's called, and in loading in all the jobs and all the time estimates and all the standards, and then managing their work plan, automating their work plan, inputting the workers into it based on, and this is the critical part. And Brandon's got, he can look back and see what workers do what jobs best. Not only does it benefit the company, but then the employee, they're on piece rate bonuses or work bonuses. And when you put people in their best jobs, not only is it high productivity, but then those individuals, it's flow. That's what they're best at. And in this case, they get their highest bonus for. And it's a win-win-win, isn't it? For the manager, for the company, for the individual. Talk about employee engagement. Talking about doing it with automation, thoughtful, even in a very difficult blue-collar, long-hour workplace. Here's a great example of putting people in the best, where they do their best. But managers, we can do the same thing with salary-paid people as well. Not necessarily all of their job all the time, for sure. But, you know, I've seen recently we're taking away some of the admin duties for salespeople so that they can stay in flow and stay in front of the client. Talk about a high-value activity. Another idea to help people feel engaged. This is a really important one. Some people do this so naturally and so well, and some people do not. And so helping people feel cared about at work. We've talked about in our last podcast, the radical candor, compassionate candor, I call it, of creating a work culture of high accountability and high care. Really hard to do. Most of us like to play in the high care area, patient, patient, patient. Then when we get ticked off or stress becomes so unbelievable, then we flail into the high accountability area and leave the care. But what we're really striving for is that balance between accountability, helping them improve through critical feedback, and high care. So how do you high care? It could be as simple as birthdays, remembering birthdays, right? A supervisor sending a text, an email, a voicemail, or face-to-face. Just remember their birthdays. Make them feel special. Ask about their families. You can still hold people accountable if you know about their families. Some people like to decompartmentalize it. I've got to be a hard-nosed manager. And I'm here to tell you that caring, high engagement with high accountability is the home run, is the holy grail. And I know it's hard to keep in that quadrant of high accountability and high care, but so important. Ask about their family. Give them time off. I heard a story recently where one peer to another was home taking care of their mother with dementia, and no one could take care of it for that afternoon, Friday afternoon even. And a peer broke in and said they had to talk to, and it was really, in people's estimation, not that material. How about giving people that time off when they really need it, when there's a sickness, when I'll bet you they'll do workarounds to make sure the job gets done, or extra hours at a different time. That kind of flexibility is huge. Positive recognition, we've been talking about that a lot with clients. I'll bet you maybe 70% of the listeners are current clients or past clients. And I love it. We've been talking a lot about positive recognition. So many examples I've heard. And this is an interesting one I hadn't thought about. Moist eye recognition. You do it so well and so meaningful. Even tough, hard-nosed leaders, managers, hourly work, get a little moist in the eye when a supervisor or a peer, in a meaningful, very sincere and very specific way, honors them for the hard work or process adherence or great results they got. And remember, that's what we're trying to reinforce. The behaviors, managers, leaders, whenever you see the behaviors, processes, and results you want, reinforce it. Don't wait till they get to the goal line to pat them on the back or give them VIP points or whatever it might be. Reinforce early and often, very specifically, very sincere. And you will get more of the same. And you will find that people will bounce off baseline in their performance heading towards their target. People feeling listened to at work is a great way. This is so hard, right? We get so busy. We've only got a half an hour, which, by the way, on a one-on-one, I highly recommend taking an hour and making a high accountability and high support event. You can capture leaders by doing a 1 hour one-on-one. You can capture hearts and minds. You can come up with strong action plans to improve. You can help them brainstorm. You don't have to give them all the answers and experts, but help them feel listened to. Don't go into a one-on-one or a sit down with an employee and jump in with all the solutions. Let them ask good open-ended questions. Don't be too quick to jump in with a solution. Yeah, I know that's hard. We're stressed, we're busy, we're going fast. Do 10 deep breaths before you go into your one-on-ones, leaders. Slow yourself down. Listen first. Gary Lennett, CEO of Doer. Love that company. Love their products. Best, most comfortable bottoms in the world, particularly men's, but they're really expanding into some wonderful women's products as well. He is quick. He doesn't just wait for me as a coach to be careful to not jump in too early. He'll tell me often, and this is a great thing to manage up, people. Hey, Rick, I'm not quite felt listened to. Let me just finish here before you jump in. Love it. Love it. Please, permission. When you're managing up or managing with your coach, be proactive. Don't just hold it against them. Jump in and make sure you're feeling listened to at work. So we have, as an employees, a responsibility as well. Don't just criticize your boss because he's too quick to jump in. He's highly stressed. He's got a lot of things he's doing. You jump in, be proactive. Hey, boss, do you mind if I just finish out some of my rationale here and to be listened to before we jump in and problem solve it? Who's going to say no to that? Really? And if they do, they maybe shouldn't be in management. Woo, Rick, that's pretty strong. Okay, but probably true. And then, of course, involve them in the decision-making and the job. This is my, other than connect them to purpose and why and values, this is my number two reason you really want to get. This is called performance engagement. Connect them, help them, make them in their KPI reports and the monthly business review come up with their own action plans. You don't feed it to them. That's part of engagement. That's part of good critical thinking. It's part of good strategic thinking. But then in their one-on-ones, help them be non-directive first. Help them come up with their action plans for their area. Now here, let me come back to Boeing now as I close out with this story. So, and this is many years ago, and I'm sure it's even got better than this. But what Bob and Lauren did, tying in the story that I started with at this manufacturing facility, is they started doing whiteboard board reviews, where there was a whiteboard with KPIs, action plans, highlights, next steps, maintenance review, what maintenance is going to do in your area, right at every workstation or almost every workstation. And every morning they would do, if it's a big plant, you can't do a 10-minute or 15-minute board review. You can schedule them in. I love even the idea of executive board walks. Gary Yasavage, former president of Chevron Manufacturing, good friend, loves the executive board walks. He would go through his El Segundo facility and tour the boards in turnaround, tour the boards in maintenance, tour the boards in operations, ask people what the KPI means, what they're working on, thank them for the work, offer to help. What help can we provide to help you, help your job run smoothly? What maintenance follow-up do you need? What planning follow-up do you need? Oh, just parts follow-up. These executive board reviews are just a fantastic tool. I know Levitt's looking to implement them, and we're looking at this at Howling in many spots as well. But bring the executives, the managers to their workplace, have visual management. We all know the power of visual management. And Lauren and Bob, in an incredibly positive way. And when you start these board reviews with sharp KPIs, action plans, let the operators and supervisors talk to them. And you, as managers and executives, tour it on some kind of frequency. In aerospace, they do it daily. In some sites, they do it weekly. I'm saying at least monthly, or at least when you go by and do your branch tours to your locations, have them do a board review. Have them tell you where their KPIs are at and why, and their actions and what help they need. Make it incredibly, give lots of positive recognition, and you'll watch that behavior of hourly, unionized workforce engage. Wow, what do they love about it? First of all, they get to be heard. They're the experts on their workstation, their work site. Let them tell you what they're doing and how important it is and all the great work they're doing. And then ask how you can help or give positive recognition on effort, process, results, and behavior. What a fantastic tool to engage. Performance engagement at its finest. And I won't mention that it was a best of the best project that Bob and Lauren did. Massive turnaround in performance, massive turnaround in morale, massive turnaround in employee engagement by practicing, just giving leaders that venue of an executive board review in their workstation, not up in your home spot in your office, in their workstation, visual management, clear visibility on how they're doing or not doing, and great accountability, high support. You know, often in leadership, we talk about all these principles, but set up a process so that you can be a great leader. So even if you're an average human being like most of us that are trying to get better at leadership, create a process to engage, recognize, hold accountable, and do all this stuff. And that's what a whiteboard review does in people's workstation. Anyhow, you can ping me if you want more details on that. That's a terrific tool to get engagement. Hopefully this has been a valuable podcast for you as leaders, supervisors, as you listen to, you want to increase the performance and the engagement and improve the culture in your business unit, in your branch, in your company. Cheers for now. Bye.